God, our helper, by your Holy Spirit, open our minds and lead us into your truth, for the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Our scripture lesson today comes from 1 Corinthians 1, 10 through 18, and Matthew 4, 12 through 23. I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized into the name of Paul? I am thankful that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius. So no one can say that you were baptized into my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanus. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with words of human wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Now, Matthew. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he returned to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea along the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in the darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among people.
Good morning. How are you guys? Good. Let me sit in the middle because I have a bin I want to show you here. I'll scoot here. You startled me. All right. Did you know that second grade is a hoot with Mrs. Cohen? Just so you know. All right. So what do I have? Let me hold that for you while you're here so you can pay attention. How's that? I'll give it right back to you, I promise. What do I have inside this bin? Lots of letters. And when I saw these sticky letters, it reminded me of our scripture lesson. Yeah, they have a back and you can peel them off. I'll let you play with them next time I see you. So it reminded me of the scripture lesson with Paul going to Corinth. And he was telling them that they all believed in the same thing, but they were arguing. So what would happen? I have something in my bag here. I'm going to put the lid on. And I'm going to take out the letters I have in my bag. Thank you. Want to put it? Go ahead. You can put it back in. Can you get it? Perfect. All right. So this is a little schoolwork. These letters spell out a word. Can you figure out what word these letters spell out? What does it say?
Cross.
What does it say? Were you going to say cross?
Cross.
Cross. So let's pretend we're letters in the word cross. What if the letter O said, "I don't want to stand next to the letter R"?
Curse.
What would happen?
Curse.
It wouldn't. Yeah, well, it would be impossible to read, wouldn't it? And these letters reminded me of us.
And then if you took the R away, it would be.
Right. You can't.
If you just had, if you
Well, here's a grammar lesson for you. If we take the O away, since it's the only vowel, it's impossible to make a word in English, because every English word has a vowel. So just a little teacher tip. Here's the point. Let's get to the point so you can go back. The point is, we all are children of God, and we all love God. We might show that love differently, but we're all important. And if we didn't have Holland sharing the love of God, or me sharing the... Yeah, right. It wouldn't go well. So let's pray. Yep. Can I hold that one too? Great. Thank you so much. Heavenly Father, we thank you that together we can work to share the love of God. Just like the letters of the alphabet have to work together for a common purpose, we work to share your love and spread the good news. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. That's yours, sir. Holland, thank you for letting me hold that.
So Jesus is out for a leisurely stroll. We're told that he's gotten quite famous by this time. His name is known in Zebulun and Naphtali, Galilee of the Gentiles, which may not actually mean anything to you unless you're from Zebulun or Naphtali, but I don't think anyone is here. These are pretty far-flung places. They are not a part of Judah, Jerusalem. They're not part of that kind of central place. Zebulun and Naphtali are part of that northern kingdom that got wiped out first by the Assyrian army about 150 or 200 years before Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians. So all of this, of course, is in fulfillment of Scripture. If you notice, if you haven't noticed yet, you certainly will after I point it out to you, that over and over again, Jesus' story, as told by Matthew, is in fulfillment of Old Testament words and prophecies. So Jesus is already starting to get a name among the Gentiles as well. He's quite famous. And as he walks along the sea, he sees a couple of fishermen out in the boat casting their nets. I told a really bad joke at the consistory meeting this week about Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. I'm going to tell it again because I like it, and it's that bad. Did you know that Simon and Andrew, in addition to being fishermen, they were also musicians? And what instrument did they play? Castanets. That's right, it's really that good. That first one is free. You might have to pay for the next one. So there they are. They're in their boat. They're getting ready to cast their nets when Jesus says to them, "Hey, you, come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men," or "I will make you fish for people." And Peter and Andrew, they drop their nets, they get out of the boat, and they start to follow Jesus. And in the same way, they continue a little bit farther down the shore, and they're in another boat, are the sons of Zebedee, James and John, along with their father Zebedee, also fishermen, also in a boat, but without any slick and savvy words about fishing for people. He just says to them, "Come and follow me," and they do. They leave their brother Zebedee in the boat by himself, and they follow Jesus. This reveals something significant about what it is to follow Jesus. And kind of a primary question for us to dwell on this morning. For both Simon Peter, his brother Andrew, for James and John, sons of Zebedee, in order to follow Jesus, they had to leave something behind, something significant to them. Whether it was their jobs, their livelihood, perhaps their father, their family business. They leave him in the boat by himself. They leave all of that behind in order to follow Jesus. In fact, later on in the Gospels, they even tell Jesus, "We've left everything behind to follow you." So lest we think that, oh, you know, since they were just around the Sea of Galilee, they could pick up their boats at any time. No, in their minds, this is a break from their old lives, a break from their old identities. The identity of fisherman or son or whatever the case might be, they leave it behind in order to follow Jesus. And I wonder, for those of us in our present day who are followers of Jesus, what does it mean for us to leave something behind in order to follow Jesus? What do we have to leave behind in order to be followers of Jesus? I want us to hold on to that for a second while we flip over to 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Corinth. And Paul counsels them. He says, I don't want you to have anything against one another. I want you to be in perfect harmony with one another as a people, Christians. Which, hey, it's a good thing he said that. Otherwise, the church would just be a mess, right? There would be all kinds of fights. There would be thousands of different denominations focusing on, you know, this little thing or that little thing. But it's a good thing that the church is unified and we don't have to worry about all of that, right? Right? Like, you could hit a golf ball and smack into about five different Christian denominations right here from where we are. In fact, if you rolled the ball down the hill in Hawthorne, you might actually roll it into two other Reformed churches that were started over language differences or, you know, to cater to this particular subset of the population. Did you know that John Calvin and Martin Luther, two of the great figures in the Protestant Reformation, agreed on almost every single point of doctrine? Almost every single one. They agreed about the church. They agreed about baptism. They agreed about preaching. They agreed about scripture. They agreed about, you know, 20 out of 21 different things. There is one thing that they disagreed about, and you're going to love this. Communion. And what is it about communion? It's not even how often. It's about how is Jesus present in the elements of communion. Calvin said, Jesus is present, but it's a spiritual presence because Jesus ascended to heaven. So Jesus is up there in heaven. His spirit is present in the elements. And so when you eat the bread and you drink the wine, you have full communion with Jesus. Jesus is fully present in spirit in you. He wrote this beautiful thing about how our spirits are lifted up into heaven to commune with the spirit of Jesus Christ. It's really quite beautiful, one of the best things that John Calvin said. Martin Luther said, the elements, Christ is present in the elements in a physical way, but only after you eat and drink. So it still is regular bread and regular wine, but once you eat it and you ingest it, then it's transformed into the physical body and blood of Christ inside of you. It's called consubstantiation, which is different, by the way, than the Roman Catholic belief that when the priest says the special words over it, it physically transforms into the body and blood of Christ before you eat it. What a significant difference, right? Wars have been fought over the difference of this, and it's like, really? Over whether you follow John Calvin or whether you follow Martin Luther. It appears that in the church in Corinth, there was some disagreement about who was in charge. Some were saying, I follow Paul. Others were saying, I follow Cephas, who is Peter. Others were saying, I follow Apollos. Others were saying, I follow Christ. Who do you follow? Who do you follow? It's interesting that we all claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, and yet we still have these disagreements. We still have disputes about things. And it's because when we drill right down into it, following Jesus is often merely a subset of our beliefs, that there is some significant pastor or some theologian or someone who has written or taught us something that causes us to believe something that keeps us at odds with someone else. It's happened across Christian denominations. It happens within Christian denominations. I think we've talked about this before, but if not, this might be news to you, that this year at the General Synod meeting in 2020, in June, in Orange City, Iowa, a place that I am very well acquainted with, there's a meeting of the General Synod to discuss whether or not it would be best for the church to separate into different denominations over the question of how we read Scripture and whether or not the church ought to recognize same-sex marriage. I don't want to say that's not a significant issue and a significant conversation to have, but it strikes me that it's the difference between following Apollos or Paul or Peter. What does Paul say? What matters is the cross, which is foolishness to the Greeks, but for those who believe, it is salvation. Next week, we're going to have that same part of the verse repeated because of how important it is. Because I think that one of the things that Christians are called to leave behind when we follow Jesus is this obsession with being right about everything all the time. About our ideas winning the day, about what we say and think and do being the best and wiping out everyone else. And we live in a society today where ideas do battle against each other for a fight for supremacy and power. If you don't believe that's the case, turn on any one of the 24-hour news networks right now and watch it play out before you. Whether it's a president who's being impeached or a House Judiciary Committee chairman making a presentation, or heck, even go down to your local town hall. You'll see it in action. People are divided against each other, and they come to blows. Why? Because of a difference of opinion. and the church is falling into this trap.
Right.
I think it was 3 years ago now at General Synod. After a particularly testy debate on the floor of Synod, where after the Synod had broke for recess, one delegate got up and said to another, "Would you like to go and take this outside?" They were ready to punch each other in the face over what had just transpired, which sounds ridiculous and ludicrous to us, but this is the way that the broader society has begun to poison and infect the church. And my friends, we need to inoculate ourselves against this. And how do we do that? By keeping the cross of Jesus Christ first and foremost in our minds, as a reminder of who it is we follow. Not the one who was stronger and more powerful than the Roman government and smacked them right in the face. That's what the people wanted out of their Messiah. But we follow a Savior who laid down his life, who chose the humiliation of the cross, who chose weakness to prove the strength of God. I'm going to come out and say it. Social media, 24-hour news networks are treacherous places to dwell these days. And you would be well to delete your social media accounts and cancel cable. But if you're not going to do that, which you probably won't, dwell in the Word of God. And make sure that in your mind you are creating a space, that in your heart, in your very soul, you're creating a space for the presence of Jesus Christ to remind you that in God's economy, in God's kingdom, it's the least that are the greatest. It's the weakest who are proven to be strong because of the power of God in their midst. Let's all take our dose of humility as we interact with people who hold different beliefs and share different viewpoints from us, keeping in mind that we might actually have something to learn from them. We might actually be wrong about something, believe it or not. The hardest person to convince that you're wrong is yourself. Although I've tried to convince plenty of other people that they're wrong too, and believe it or not, no one gets argued into the kingdom of God. There's something to be said about remembering who it is we follow. We don't follow Paul or Peter. In fact, Paul, it's pretty funny when he's talking about who he's baptized. He's like, "I only baptized this person, oh, and that person, and maybe them, and maybe somebody else. I don't know. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who baptized you. It doesn't matter what church you're a part of. It doesn't matter all of these things. What matters is who you follow." My prayer for us as a church, as people, as individual members of it, is that we would pledge our allegiance to the cross of Jesus Christ, and remember that it's Him that we follow, and that we leave behind all of that other stuff in order to walk in His ways. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, we thank You for calling us to follow You. We pray that You would give us opportunities this week to contemplate what it is we leave behind in order to serve You, in order to follow You. If it's true that all who have been baptized receive a calling and that you have called us, then keep in mind for us what we sacrifice, what we set aside, what we put on hold in order to make that calling in our lives first and foremost. Send your Spirit to guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you're able to stand, would you stand with me as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.